Hi, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
And we're glad you're able to join us.
We look forward to diving into this past Sunday's sermon and other things that are going on in our world. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this week. Well, it is sunny outside and warm, and it is officially spring, I think. Hey, Kevin?
I'm absolutely certain of it.
I was joking with somebody on, yesterday. I said, we got introduced to first spring and second winter this year, and it was brutal.
Yeah.
That teaser of spring back in, was it April? And
yeah.
You think maybe March when it was, and you think, spring.
Yeah.
And everybody's telling us, no, no, no. And sure enough, second winter.
Yeah, same for us. May long weekend, right? That's right? What they all say, May long weekend. But our May long weekend turned out to be really nice.
It was. Yeah.
The Monday was a rainy day, so people had to pack up their stuff in the rain, right. But we still got those Friday, Saturday, Sunday together.
Yeah.
Beautiful days.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That would be our first one, I think, since we've been back 5 years, that it was that nice. Or, well, this would be our fourth one, I guess, because we've been back 5 years. So, we've had some nice weather. I found my flip flops. I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, just wear my flip flops wherever I go.
Yeah.
So good things are happening. Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. And good things are happening in our society too. I mean, we're opening up a bit.
That's exciting. That's so exciting.
Which I think is absolutely fantastic.
Yep. June 10th, we're looking at stage two, which is nice. Openings up a little bit more just in a week and a bit. So it's not even like it's a month away or anything like that. It's just a couple weeks.
Yep. Very exciting. More people in the building, more bums and pews, as I used to think of it as.
Bums and pews.
Seats and pews. So that's good. So thank God for that. And we're hitting targets, I guess. According to you, you told us that this morning.
Getting closer and closer to that 70% vaccinated, which they say is what we need to fully reopen.
Right.
So
that's the magic mark.
So,
okay, well, get them back vaccinated.
Get it done and get things back open.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's a good thing.
You know, we were, like you mentioned earlier in staff meeting, this has been a tough year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But God has continued to work in amazing ways.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's remarkable looking back over this past year.
Yeah.
And everything, you know, it's, it seems like, wow, it's been a year.
Mm-hmm.
And
more even.
And more. And you think of all the disappointments, all the struggles. And then you think of all the ways you can pinpoint God at work.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, God worked in that degree in the midst of this. What's it going to look like as we come out of this?
Yeah.
Like even more so, I'm just expecting to see him do some pretty amazing things.
Yeah. I think this is one of the things that's coming clear for those of us who've been fasting and praying and doing this 40-day fast.
Yeah.
And even I've heard a couple of people say that they just have this sense in their spirit that there's going to be some things happening after this that are kind of that feel of you're not going to be able to contain it.
Right.
That kind of feel to it, that God is on the move. And and I would say just from our little experience, I would agree that there are things happening in people's lives that are just, like, it's happening.
Yeah.
And you're kind of hearing about it post happening.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's not because we're initiating anything.
No.
It's because the God and His Holy Spirit are just working in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool to hear. And there is the tragic side too. There's the marriages that are strained side. There's the difficulty side that people's health, you know, and surgeries being postponed and cancer being delayed in terms of treatment. And and there's those very sad stories, you know, and of course the opiate problem has touched our town and it's touched people in our church who've lost friends through drug overdose. Yeah. And apparently it's on the rise brutally.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the dark side, and it's created a sense of hopelessness and hearing things like that. And then you hear what happened in this, the school,
the
residential school. It just seems to compound the tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's already been bad
for
a long time. And then you hear all this, and you go, oh man,
it's so much worse.
How could it be worse?
Yeah.
And it is, you know, it's so terrible.
Yeah.
And, you hear those things and in your heart, you know, it's bad and it's broken and it's wicked and it's not Christianity, yet it's done in the name of Christianity. Yeah. And you just think this is so evil. Mm-hmm. It's just rooted in disgusting wickedness.
Right.
And yet at the same time, you read the scriptures. I mean, how often did God do something absolutely astounding out of evil?
That's right.
He turned it around. He changed it. Mm-hmm. And he made something glorious come out of it. And you think, how did he do that?
Oh, I know.
Because he's God, he can.
Right. You know, it makes me think of Ephesians. I think it's Ephesians 3 or 4. And it's, you know, this year, if it's been almost a year of exposing. COVID exposed a lot of issues that were underlying that were covered up by the busyness of our quote unquote normal lives.
Yeah.
It exposed a lot of that. Yeah. Even then the exposure of the atrocities in the residential schools kind of being exposed to even a greater extent now. Yeah. But Ephesians talks about how, you know, what's done in the darkness, you know, don't even talk about it, so bad. Mm-hmm. But when Christ shines his light, it becomes light. Mm-hmm. And it's like when these things are exposed, they aren't just exposed to show us the disgusting, vile nature of it. Yes, we see that, but it's so that healing and restoration and freedom in Christ can happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's almost wondering, is that, has that been this season?
Yeah.
The season of exposure, of shining the light on things. So now the light of Christ can bring the healing and the restoration that's needed.
Yeah. It's true in the diamond industry.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to display your diamond, you always have to have a black
background. Yeah.
And that's where the diamond shows its best, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to have that background that is dark.
Yeah.
And I think if I understand how the scripture works, he takes these evil things and that becomes almost the impetus.
Yeah.
It becomes the hunger for goodness, the hunger for something right, the hunger for anything but the evil that we're knowing. It creates a groundswell of hunger and thirst.
Right.
And Jesus said, if you're hungry and thirsty after righteousness, you will be filled. But if you don't have hunger and you don't have thirst, if your life is just going normal and you know, you get your troubles and your concerns and your worries, but life is scooting along just fine, you know, and we greet each other. How are you? I'm good. I'm fine.
Oh, I'm good. Good. Yeah.
But not anymore.
No.
Right. Those things are passe now. How can you honestly admit that?
Right. Yeah.
And you hear about this and the thing about it is too, it's like, it's not this faint whisper of something happened. Mm-hmm. It's a drumbeat. It's pounded through media. Bang, 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 bang. This is, you know, the atrocities at these schools. And then they go and they find all these people who've been drastically hurt and affected and the horrible story. And it's like compounding.
Right.
I don't want to hear anymore. You know, that's when you put your hands over your ears. Yeah. But I think it becomes the backdrop for good in that sense.
Absolutely.
Like something good can come from this. Yep. And, you know, you don't want to say that lightly or tritely.
Right.
No. Because people's lives have been so horribly marred by what's happened. But when they find true freedom, you know, through reconciliation, through forgiveness, you know, I know that the government has issued apologies and things like that, which I think it's good. Yeah. It helps. And I hope that they don't start throwing money at stuff because that doesn't help.
No.
Yeah. It has to be like heartfelt change.
Absolutely.
And making sure that the apology is backed up by actions that demonstrate that you truly are ashamed, really.
Yeah.
Of our government and our church. I mean, I wonder, how is the church going to
respond? I think this is an opportunity for the church to now say, that wasn't Christ.
No.
Let us show you Christ. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let us show you the true Christ, the loving, the sacrificial Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and even the language we use today about institutional, what is it, racism, I guess, which is a bit hard to, like, how do you figure that out?
Yeah.
But there is institutional wickedness and it comes out in many forms.
That's right.
One of them may be racist.
Yeah.
But the other form is abusiveness and taking advantage of your spiritual authority. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that God has got something up his sleeve for our countries because he's exposing, like you said, these horrible parts.
Yeah.
To make us hungry for what is good. And mm-hmm. I think that the church has a chance, maybe like no other time in mm-hmm. my lifetime,
yeah,
where we get to say that isn't Christianity.
Right.
That was a form of something,
right,
with a Christian name over yeah. it, but it was far away from true Christianity. Mm-hmm. So, and who knows, maybe there'll be those who listen and find healing. I yeah. hope so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope. Yes. We can only hope and pray. Lord, yeah. Lord, bring good from this somehow.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, this might be a good segue, you know, and like you mentioned, there's no more of these platitudes of, hey, how are you? And, oh, I'm good. And, yeah. you know, there's no more covering it up.
But, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, and I think that takes us into mission. And you were talking about on Sunday
yeah.
With Isaiah yeah. and when he experiences the glory of God. When that coal is touched to his lips and it
yeah.
purifies him, mm-hmm. send me, mm-hmm. here am I, send me.
Send me, send me, you know?
Yeah. What does that look like?
Mm. I think it would be unique to each person as it was to Isaiah. Mm-hmm. His was a unique calling.
Right.
If you go further, which we didn't get to do in the passage,
mm-hmm.
you find out that after this amazing experience of God high and lifted up, just mm-hmm. blows him away.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the cry of woe is me. And then the healing balm that came like through the live coal that right. touched his lips. And now your sins are gone. You're cleansed. Mm-hmm. And then the question from the throne, who will I send?
Will I send?
Who will go for us? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He was so eager after that. And mm-hmm. I think that part, I wish I maybe could have unpackaged that more in this mm-hmm. in the message, because It is almost like if you go to the doctor and he hits that little spot just under your knee.
Right.
That knee-jerk
reaction.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's a bit like that mm-hmm. because it's a response to this yeah. amazing vision. And so God says, yeah, okay, I'll yeah. take you. So yeah. here's your job. So he gave Isaiah the difficult job of going out and telling everybody who God was and what he was up to, and then informed him that no one would listen.
Nobody would listen.
Okay. Okay. That doesn't sound like fun to me.
What you know? Pastor would want to get up in the pulpit every week? No, nobody's going to listen.
Nobody.
Not listens. A single person's going to listen.
Yeah. Ever hearing, but never listening.
Yeah.
Ever perceiving, but never actually seeing. You know, this is your job. But at the same time, if you go through the rest of the book of Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
it is loaded with all kinds of visions of the Messiah.
That's right.
Right? I mean, it's a huge book that talks about the coming one, Jesus. Mm-hmm. So out of it came beautiful things.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, and I know Jesus even quoted Isaiah in that passage
right.
when he was talking to the people around him.
Yeah.
So each one is unique. Each one has its own calling. But I think to answer your question, the best way that I would know how, or if I could finish the message, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I had, say, 45 minutes more. Right. We could go down all kinds of trails that surround us right now. This vision that he had is for right now. It's in the middle of his uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
His friend, his king, the king of Israel had died. He'd been king for 55 years. Wow. He was a good king, so he was trustworthy, you know, and now suddenly the throne is empty and his friend is gone and he's unsettled. He's nervous. He's scared. He's wandering. He's pondering, what's going to be like now? What's going to happen?
I think that's a great connection because I've never looked into that. I was like, oh, the year that King Uzziah died, always just given us a year, but that's
the date.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The backdrop of this vision of where Isaiah would have been at.
Yeah. And he was a prophet that had been prophesying on God's behalf already. There's already five chapters before this happens.
Yeah.
And he had been pronouncing, woe to you, you know, your idolatry and the Sabbath and the whole thing. He was unloading both barrels, basically.
Yeah.
So this happens to him at this moment. And I think because it happens in the moment, we can say to ourselves, the moment is also where God wants to be glorified. The moment, right now, this moment, right now between us, right now, whenever we go, wherever we say. So how do we do that? How do we live that out?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it goes back to what I did mention this morning in our quiet time for the 40-minute thing was that Jesus, he's our example. He's mm-hmm. the one who we are to exemplify, right? But how did he do it? And his was a life where he interacted with people and he saw their needs and they felt comfortable to say their needs in his presence. So I think there's that combination of just noticing what's around you.
Mm-hmm.
I love the testimony that Shauna gave. Eh? Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
It was amazing.
And you think, now here's a person that was just around us. I mean, I didn't know who she was until she showed up here at church. But who knew her? Was there any other Christians in her life? Was there anybody around her that saw her pain?
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes you hear Jesus asking that wonderful question, you know, like when that woman came in and was washing Jesus' feet at the meal.
Right.
You know? And he asked the question, do you see this woman?
Yeah.
And they're all like, of course we see this woman. Right. What do you think?
Yeah.
But he wasn't asking it in that sense.
Do you see her?
Right.
Yeah.
Do you see her? And I think that's where I would want my prayers to go for me and maybe all of us,
mm-hmm.
is that we would actually see people. Just see them. Just see who they are and respond. Really, that's what God is asking of us. Nothing more.
Right.
Just to take his goodness, his gentleness, his message of hope, his kindness, an act of kindness. Those are all ways in which we carry out the mission, just like Jesus did.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You know, I think about how many times you pass by somebody. Oh, how are you? Oh, good. I'm good.
Yep.
But then how many, you know, what about those times where you take the time and say, no, really, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had those times where, you know, both directions where I'll look at somebody and say, no, really, how are you?
Yeah.
And then it's like their face, like, is just like almost a relief. Like, you actually care.
Yeah. Yeah.
You actually want to hear how I'm doing. It's like, yes.
Right.
And then, you know, it's almost verbal diarrhea as they, you know, let out and unload. And it's like, wow, you know, they were holding that in and just putting on the smile. And then likewise for me, when I'm, you know, just, oh yeah, I'm good. And somebody says, well, how was your week? What's been going on? And I'm like, oh, let me talk about it.
Yeah,
and then, you know, they're able to encourage me.
Mm. Very important, isn't it?
But we've got to take the time.
Yeah. Take the time and ask the Holy Spirit to help us see. I think that's a key thing.
Yeah.
Help us see.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah had a vision.
Yeah.
We need a vision.
That's right.
Maybe not of God sitting on a throne.
Like, right.
Well, that'd be great if I have
it. Right.
But just of the vision of people around us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Here am I. Send me. Send me where?
Mm-hmm.
Send me to who?
Right.
Well, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you.
Yeah.
So the same way Jesus came is the same way we go.
Mm-hmm.
Go into all the world, make disciples. So we're about mission because we have this glorious, high, and lifted up experience.
Yeah.
And we have this deep work of the Spirit of God and forgiveness in our lives. We cannot but speak like you know, the apostles.
Yeah.
We cannot but, we can't help but speak because of what has happened to us.
Yeah.
You know, and I love how Shauna in her testimony, she was so giddy. Thanks for listening. You know,
right?
I'm surprised you want to hear.
Right. Yeah.
And part of me is kind of like, that's so cute. But the other part of me is so tragic that she thinks that in the first place. Why wouldn't we be interested in this? This is someone's life change.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful for her willingness. And I know there's probably, what, 15 people who've
done these? Yeah, I think 15 in total that we've got.
I met Jesus videos. So another day will come when we'll get some more.
Yes.
But for now, we're going to try and work these into our services and get them out into the public to bring some hope.
That's right.
And if anyone listening anywhere, you know, we pray the Holy Spirit, once it gets out into the open, who knows who will listen to it and from where?
Yeah.
Because it's the internet. So it could be anywhere.
Yeah.
And people's lives can be changed.
Yeah. We're in such a, you know, a unique position as we've been 15 months through COVID and starting to see things open up. So much has been exposed.
Yeah.
So much heartache, so much fear, so much anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, in the year that King Uzziah died, in the year of COVID-19.
That's right, unsettled.
I saw a vision.
Right.
And so, Lord, would you give us a vision? Mm-hmm. Lord, would you open our eyes, open our hearts, and give us a vision of what you're up to?
Mm-hmm.
Because he is up to something remarkable and something beyond our wildest imaginations. Mm-hmm. And he's inviting us to be a part of it.
Yeah. Agreed. I can say amen to that. Good prayer. Maybe that's a good way to close it off.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And so all for his glory and his praise. And we know it's for our good.
Yep. Amen.
And all of this.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.